you into the house of worship. Those of you joining us online, get this out on your networks. Invite somebody to church with you. We came to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. And wherever you are at, if you're joining us online, you can make that place your temple of worship, the house of worship. We're getting this out on the networks. We welcome you. Come on in, Facebook family and friends. Come on in, Bethel family. Share this with somebody. Invite somebody to church with you. Lift up your hands. Join in the worship. We welcome you. So pray. Come on in. We welcome you in the house of worship. United Methodist Church. Get this out on your networks. We came to worship God in the beauty of his holiness this morning, for he has been better to us than we've been to ourselves. Our modern affirmation: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is all over his works and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. And every heart says, amen. Sisters and brothers, this is the second Sunday of the Advent season. As we anticipate our Lord's arrival, he already came, but we anticipate his second coming to call the church out of this world. We have so much to be thankful for as we remember this Advent season when Jesus ultimately this Sunday, the second week of the Advent, December 5th. And the scripture lessons are from Malachi, the third chapter, Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. You'll find these words penned by the prophet. It's about the coming. Thus begins begins the reading of God's word. Behold, behold, and he will prepare the way. I send a messenger and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. That is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Our second reading will be from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Verses 1 through 6, reading from the New King James Version. Now in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor over Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Read to you Malachi. Our litany, the reading this morning, coming from the United Methodist litany. For many of us, the call to head home is one of joy and hope. We can't wait to reconnect with family, with history and tradition, with a wonderful time of freedom and loving support. We can't wait to go home. There are those who fear going home, however, and there are times when going home brings back memories that are not so good, not so healing. We are reminded when we didn't fit in, when we didn't measure up, when we weren't loved like we needed to be loved. Home can be a difficult place for some. The prophet Malachi tells us that even when we are in the hottest fires, there is a presence who can make us better, who can refine and purify. John the Baptist tells us that the road home is always under construction, mountains leveled and valleys filled in to make smooth the path that leads us to our true destination.
where we can live in peace and unity with all. We light these candles, the candle of hope, and the candle of peace, as a sign of our assurance that though the road is hard, we believe it is worth the journey. It's time, sisters and brothers, to go home. Amen.
Put your hands together for Bethel Music Ministry as they come in their own special way.
Join the church choir as we sing the great hymn of the church, We Three Kings, 254 in your United Methodist hymnal. 254, We Three Kings.
Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to
light.
Hey man, is this something about these hymns of the church, these Christmas themed hymns telling of our coming Savior, to remind us that Jesus is the reason for the season? In case you get caught up in the hustle and bustle on the day-to-day hustle and bustle of life, people wanting to run out and get gifts, it is important that we remember that this season is about the most precious gift of all. God gave His Son for us that we could receive eternal life. That is what the gift giving is all about. Symbolic of what Jesus would do for us and what has been bestowed on us. And so we must be mindful. And this being First Sunday as well, Jesus paid the ultimate price, and we assemble to remember what our Lord has done and would accomplish at Calvary. That's the place where Jesus died for you and me. Yes, He came, but He would ultimately have to lay down His life. And so, my sisters and brothers, let us prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. Prayer is how we stay in constant communication and in fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. There are those who are suffering from ailments, from sickness. The names are on the list, and there may be others. Let us keep the Kaysen family lifted up in prayer. The Wilcox family, Brother Grant Morgan, who I had the privilege of visiting, is still singing the hymns of the church. Brother Charlie Burke, James Smith, Katie Duncan, Lois Coleman, Reverend and Mrs. Stewart, Cedric Kraft, Cameron Thompson, Freddie Jackson, Brother Oliver Moody needs your prayers this morning. Evelyn Coates, Joyce Johnson, Barbara McGee, Erna Roberts, and Stephanie Story need your prayers this morning. Let us remember to keep our Bishop Frank J. Beard lifted up in prayer, and his daughter as he continues to recover from his eye surgeries, those procedures that we pray are successful. Let us continue to lift up our interim bishop, Bishop Gregory V. Palmer, the entire Illinois Great Rivers Cabinet, those district superintendents who help to govern our Zion accordingly, and all of those names that were mentioned. There may be others. For those of you joining us online, just type those who you know is in the need of prayer, their names in the chat box. Let us prepare to beseech the throne of mercy and grace. Come by, here, come by, woo. Come by here, oh Lord, come by here, somebody need, come by here, somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. Somebody praying, Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord. Hearts and minds focused towards heaven. Gracious, divine, heavenly Father,
I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we know that there's no prescribed posture, but in humility, we are on our knees, on bended knee, with a bowed head and an humble heart, to say thank you, God, for another day's journey that we are sure enough glad about. Father, we thank you for 110 years that this church has stood as a beacon of light to this community. We couldn't do it without you on our side, with you being the way maker. Father, the petition of names has gone before you. We ask that you would touch those in the feeling of their infirmity, O God. Let them know that you're with them. Let them know that they're never alone. Somebody needs healing, so we invoke the name of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. God, have your way. Strengthen us, keep us, guide us. We invite your presence into this worship experience this morning, O God. Anoint the choir to sing Zion songs as a sweet-smelling savor into your nostrils. God, we can do nothing without you on our side. We present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. God, we don't want to be conformed to the ways of this world, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So have your way, O God, in us and through us. Lord, you've enabled us to be able to get this gospel out to a dead and dying world, even over the internet. And so somebody needs to hear from you this morning. We pray that the word will encourage, will inspire. And when the Holy Spirit convicts, Father God, that some will be reproved of sin. It is important that we make the crooked path straight. For you're coming back again for your church without spot or blemish. And so, Father, with all of the chaos and confusion all over the land, with all of the political unrest, the racial unrest, you are a God who brings all things together. For we are all one, united in the body of Christ. There is no distinction, no Jew nor Greek, no black or white. We're all blood-bought believers. And so, Father, allow us to be able to worship you in the beauty of your holiness, in spirit and in truth. Have your way this morning. Pick up a bowed head, bind a broken heart, O God. Some of us need a mind regulator. Our minds are racing. But we need to be focused and fixated on you. Father, we know that the world is full of chaos and confusion, and it's a distraction. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But you came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. A better life. There is a better way through Christ Jesus our Lord. And there you are with outstretched arms. Father, we pray for those who are struggling. Mental illness is running rampant in communities. They need hope. They need peace. This community of Peoria needs your peace. And so, Father, have your way. In us and through us, empower us to be the church that we can stand as a beacon of light, that we can bring hope to the hopeless by the liberating gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That resurrection power is alive and well in us as we celebrate on this first Sunday the Holy Sacrament, your body that would be broken, your blood that would be shed. And without the shedding of your blood, there could be no remission of our sin. So have your way, O God. The message that never changes, that will never grow old. And we know that the blood will never, ever lose its power. And so have your way in us and through us on today, in this worship experience. Touch those online that they can hear a word from you that will encourage, will empower, and equip them, God. It's in the mighty, majestic, marvelous name of Jesus Christ that we pray and believe. The Church of the Living God says amen Amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Of praise. We have so much to be thankful for. On last week we celebrated 110 years and we are so grateful. Thank God for the messenger in the person of Reverend Dr. Orville Jones and all of you who have been found faithful down through the years. We couldn't make it without you. And those of you joining us online, we encourage you. Giving is very much a part of worship. Those of you who may not have had the opportunity to give, we want to allow you to avail yourself of the joy of giving. You can go to www.peoriabethel.org. You can hit the donation tab. You can submit your tithe and your offering that way. And those of you who have not yet submitted your anniversary contribution, we're just asking for $1 for each year, $110. We're asking that you would submit that. Amen. God has blessed us to be able to give, and we're grateful. Don't give begrudgingly, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And we are grateful for some of the things that are happening around Bethel. Transformation is taking place all around. Got a new roof. Amen. We thank the trustees for being diligent in their duty and all of you who are on church council. We couldn't do it. It takes every one of you. We thank Brother Eddie Caballero kind of taking the lead on that. And it's a blessing. For there are many churches that did not survive this pandemic. But we are experiencing transformation physically and spiritually. And so we encourage you to give. Those of you who continue to give with your first fruits, we say thank you. We couldn't make it without you. And you give as unto the Lord out of obedience. Let us prepare to bless the gifts. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Sisters and brothers, I would be remiss if we didn't shout out these December birthdays. Brother Lacalus Reed celebrated a birthday on Wednesday. Sister Beverly Caballero has a December birthday. Aubrey Coleman, Brother Lee Hamer celebrates a birthday. Rashad Reed celebrates a birthday in December. Sarah Smiles, Joe Hudson, Bill Marshall, Alex Kilgore, Ramsey Reed, Angela Kaysen also celebrates a December birthday. We have Monica Williams. Sister Marilyn Ragler celebrates a birthday on the 9th. Eugenia Holsom, Andrea Reed Arunse celebrates a December birthday. Sandra Burke and Miles Andrews. We give God the glory for those December birthdays. And we also would be remiss if we didn't congratulate those who are celebrating marital bliss. We've got anniversaries in the month of December. Sister June and Brother James Tyler celebrate 50 years on the 16th. On the 18th, give God glory. Brother Eddie and Beverly Caballero celebrate 45 years on the 21st. Hallelujah. And LaCallis and Sharon Reed celebrate 51 years of marital bliss on the 26th. Give glory to God, saints, for what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We give God the glory. We celebrate you and celebrate with you in this month. As our music ministry prepares to come, our New Testament scripture lesson will come from Luke, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6, will be read by Sister D. Scott. So after the music ministry, the next voice you will hear will be that of Sister D. Scott.
Of you, does the Lord Jesus Christ make you happy? We're here to praise about it. Amen, church. You make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away, and so in love with you. You make me happy, you make me whole. You take the pain away, I'm so in love with you. Help me, choir. You make me happy, you take the pain away. One more time, y'all. And you make me whole. Take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. Everything about you, everything about you is right. It covers all my wrongs. Your life saved my life. Everything about you, everything about you is right. It covers all my wrongs. All right, Bethel, help us out. Sing, you make me happy. You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you. You make me happy. And you make me whole. You take the pain away. So in love. Everything about you, Jesus. It covers all my wrong. Your life. Everything about you, Jesus. About you is right. It covers all my wrong. Your life saved my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. All right, y'all, let's praise it. I'm so in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. I'm so in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. So in love with you. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever me and you. So in love. I can't make it without you. I live to worship you. Forever. Everything about you. It covers all my wrong. Your love. help us battle for everything about you. Everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong. Your life saved my life. With you is where I belong. I belong to you, Lord. I belong. With you is where I belong. Last one with you. With you is where I belong.
Good morning, church. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 3rd chapter, and I will be reading verses 1 through 6. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign. My God is awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome. My God is awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever He will reign. My God is awesome. Ooh, He's awesome. Awesome. Ooh, He's awesome. My God is awesome. Ooh, ooh.
Verse 2.
My God is awesome. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By His stripes I am healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Praise His holy name. My God is awesome. My God, awesome. My God is awesome. 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 Yes, He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. My God. Awesome. My God is awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. My God's awesome. Awesome. Oh, He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. My God's awesome. Awesome. My God is great. He's great. He's great. He's great. My God's awesome. Awesome. My God, He's mighty. He is mighty. He's mighty. My God's mighty. My God's awesome. Ooh. He's my deliverer. 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 My God's awesome. Awesome. He's my protector. Protector, protector, protector. My God's awesome. He's awesome. He is my provider, 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 provider. My God's awesome. Ooh, my God. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. My God is awesome. heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever he will reign.
Last one.
My God is awesome. Awesome. He's awesome. My God, he's awesome. My God is awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
Last one. Awesome.
Awesome.
Praise his name, church.
He's awesome. Put your hands together for an awesome and holy God. Is he awesome? That wonderful name of Jesus. He is our awesome God. He makes a way. He keeps and sustains us. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, he's with us. You might not be able to see him, but you have to know that he's there. That abiding presence, that's what makes him awesome. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for those who love him. That's what makes him awesome. He's mind-boggling. It takes faith to even grasp a little minutia of who he is. Because he's so infinite, it's going to take eternity for us to bask in his glory. Forever and ever, yes, he will reign. And that God loved you, that he sent Jesus to redeem you and me. That's what makes him awesome. This Advent season is about the awesome God that we serve. Don't get caught up on the gifts and the pageantry. It's about Jesus.
our awesome God, our awesome Savior, our awesome Redeemer. And we're going to talk about that today. Let us pray. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Oh God, anointing, fall on me. Help me out. Anointing, let it fall. Lord, send your anointing. Let it fall. Let the power, the Holy Ghost, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Father God, it's preaching time. Time where Tyson Parks decrease and the manifestation of your Holy Spirit, the true preacher, come forth, the Paracletus, the one called alongside to aid, guide my lips and my tongue to speak biblical truth, what thus saith the Lord. And them that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, for you are my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. And every heart says, amen. Sisters and brothers, I invite your attention as Sister D read for your reading, chapter 3 of the Gospel according to St. Luke. And I want to use for preachment this morning verses 3 through 6 will be our sermon text, and I might delve into a little bit of what chapter 3 for context. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. You'll find these words penned by Luke, the gospel writer, the evangelist. Starting at verse 3. And he came into all the country around Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I want to use for a subject thought this morning. Jesus is coming, so straighten it out. Jesus is coming, so straighten it out. Many of you may be wondering, how did he derive the title? Well, many of you and some of you seasoned saints before you was born again, you might recall a R&B blues singer by the name of Lattimore. Some of y'all told you I was gonna fix it. And the song was called Straighten It Out, right? When you mess up and some things don't go right with your significant other, your spouse. This particular song, he was writing it about a relationship. Straighten it out. We all been there, right? There's nobody's perfect, right? In this journey called life. There were some things that needed to be done and fixed in the relationship. You got to straighten it out. Sometimes you got to get off your high horse and apologize, right? If you messed up, if you were wrong, if you said something, if you acted a certain way. And you know, some of us, we like to cut our eyes. You know, I know I do it. I'm being transparent. But it happens. But sisters and brothers, when we're dealing with one another on the horizontal, it's important if there's a breach, we need to straighten it out. We need to fix it. We need to get it right. We need to make it straight because it's crooked. And so this text is dealing with John the Baptist. Now, when you read the first two chapters, it talks about John the Baptist, and he was one who was for the forerunner to Jesus. And then this particular passage is dealing with John the Baptist telling the people to make the crooked paths straight, to straighten up some things. What is important for us to understand, before Jesus comes, this second advent, as we are waiting for his appearing, when he comes back for his church, we too got a responsibility to get some things straight. I'm talking to the church as believers. See, we think, well, when Jesus comes, he's going to straighten it out, but your responsibility and my responsibility is to make the way straight before he gets here. That's our word and our witness. All of us. You got to straighten it out. You got to straighten it out. Because in the context of this passage, when the king would be coming, you know, all the little workers, they went and got stuff together. In Hebrew economy and ancient history, they would prepare the way before the king got there. So if stuff was out of whack, they would get it back straight. They would get it straightened out. For us, we have to understand that there's some things that we have to do that's requisite on our part to get things straight. John was preaching prophetically. He was one who was foreordained even at birth, because in the previous chapters it talked about the babe leaping in the womb for joy. That's John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. John the Baptist was kind of radical. Yeah. Because you know what? He preached hell, fire, and brimstone. You better repent. You got to make it right. You better get it straight. And you know, in this contemporary age, we all want the fluff. We don't want to hear about hell. We don't want to hear too much about Jesus, because all that blood and gore, it can be unnerving to some people. But it ought to make you uncomfortable. Because then if you don't really know what Jesus endured for you, you can't really identify with pain, his pain. And he suffered, bled and died. For you and for me. That's what this first Sunday is all about too. There's a lot of things out of tradition that we do, but it's that we never forget. Because it's always and always will be about Jesus. His blood that would be shed for you and for me. And John was telling them, get it straight. Repent. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if we get like those self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees and think we've arrived, we're missing the mark. Amen. It's not about what we can do. It's about what he has done before us. And see, folks was confused. They was watching John and they was thinking he was the Messiah. He was the mighty prophet. But he was the one who would proclaim the coming of our Lord. And so when you read chapter 3 in its entirety, after verse 6, when John was calling the multitudes and he was talking to them, it says this: "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee of the wrath to come?" Boy, he was getting indignant with them. But he's letting them know, who told you? And you know, we got these same type of people in this contemporary age. We got people who participate. Then we got spectators. Then we just got perpetrators. You know, you got some people just want to see what's going on. Then we got some people that really get down there and they get their hands dirty. Then we got some people just come around to be coming around just to see what's happening. And they don't really have any intention on connecting, making a relationship with Jesus, just there. And in this, with this pandemic, exposes a lot of that. We have to get back. We have to eventually get back. Because I know there's different variants, but brothers and sisters, you got to trust God. I'm not saying be ignorant, but this day and age now, it's made it a lot easier to say, well, I'll just get there when I get there. And before you know it, 1-2 years done went by. Then you occasionally get online. I'm not talking about the people that I know can't be here, but I'm talking about the people who are able-bodied. Because we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Yes, the truth, it hurts. It can be brash. But we got to come together. We are the church. And there's some things that we got to do for the kingdom. We got to get it straight. We can't do that with everybody scattered all over the place. Eventually, we got to start making our way back, rolling up our sleeves, and getting it straight. Amen? That's all of us, myself included. This message, it resonated with me, because I got to thinking, am I participating, am I spectating, or am I just perpetrating? That's all of us. Ask yourself that question, because John the Baptist, he cut it straight. Who warned you of the wrath to come? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming back. And we have to be ready. Because if he comes and you're not ready, it's going to be too late. Are you following me? If he comes and you're not ready, it's going to be too late. We have to straighten it out. And you know, that word, when I looked it up, straighten it out, means to be upright, to make what is crooked straight. We all have a responsibility to straighten it out. Now, what's poignant about what John is doing and how he came to be the forerunner to Jesus, this marks that intertestamental period. There, Israel had not heard from a prophet for 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew. They couldn't hear from God. Some of y'all praying and you feel nothing. Isn't that a terrible place to be when you can't hear from God and you're crying out and it feels like your prayers aren't answered? There may be some things requisite on your part as far as straightening it out. We have an opportunity. Each and every day of your life, prayer is how we stay in constant communication and in fellowship with God. So you got to talk to Jesus every day. That's how, when you know him, not know about him, but know him. Like you talk to your children, like you talk to your husband, you ought to talk. Lord, thank you. I thank you. Not when crisis comes. I'm talking about every day. It's a fellowship. It's a relationship that transcends to fellowship. Because it's on you to get it straight. Yeah. Amen. I like what I'm hearing. This is designed, the gospel is designed to challenge you. And I know when I was coming up with the title, I was like, I wonder if this is grammatically correct. Because the title is what God gave me. So I was looking, I was like, I'm thinking, you know, because we United Methodists and you all are educators, you're astute. But when I looked it up, so can be used as a conjunction and an adverb. And an adverb modifies a verb. So it's permissible. But when I was studying homiletics, you got to speak the language of the people when you're preaching. So straighten it out. I figured some of y'all could get that. I put it in your lap. If you ain't getting nothing else, you know when you leave there, you need to straighten it out. Am I right about it? Because it's not about the profundity or me bringing a profound message that's exegetically correct and didn't reach anybody. Sometimes Jesus went out amongst the people and he made it simple, plain. And John the Baptist just said, make the crooked path straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I go back to my youth. Every once in a while, I get jogged back to my youth. There's this old sister that used to sing this song, get your house in order. Jesus is coming back again. Get your house in order. You don't know where or when. Brothers and sisters, that's still speaking to us. I like some of that old down-home theology. It really makes sense when you think about it. Because you don't invite nobody over your house, and your house is messy, do you? Because when they come and you try to straighten it out, it's too late, ain't it? There's some things that you got to do before company come, right? But Jesus is coming real soon. We got to straighten it out, folk. We got to get some things together. Now, one thing, and I want to help somebody, you may be struggling. John was speaking to them self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees, them perpetrators. Who told you about the wrath to come? You know, salvation is for those who place saving faith in Jesus Christ. So if the gospel pricks your heart, if it challenges you, the Holy Spirit can convict you, then you must repent. Repentance is requisite for the remission of sin. Amen. It's requisite. We have to repent. We got to confess our sins. We got to be heartily sorrowful for what we've done wrong. And when you know better, don't do it again. What do? We say, oh, we need to turn around. No, don't do a 360, do a 180. Because if you do a 360, you're right back in the same mess you just got out of. But when you repent, repentance means turning to Christ and turning from sin. Straighten it out. That's what we got to do. John had a radical message. But repentance was requisite for restoration to happen, to be restored. Matthew Henry, I like the commentaries. I use multiple commentaries sometimes. I rely, yes, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but it's good to have so I don't get a gross misinterpretation of the scripture. I learned it in my homiletics class. So I use Matthew Henry because he, and this is what he said. There can be no restoration without true repentance. Then and only then can there be remission of our sins through the renewal of one's own heart. Renewal. Pretty close to regeneration. You know, once God's pricked your heart and you turn to him and you trust him for salvation, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. The things I used to do, I don't do no more. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up and I'm living for Jesus until he comes because I straighten it out. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Some of y'all, I told you before, they used to call me Big Black. Now they call me Reverend. Because I don't do what I used to do. I don't go to those places. This is what it's about, my sisters and brothers. But for those of who have not placed saving faith in Jesus Christ and just going through the motions, remember them three type of people. You got the participators, the spectators, and the perpetrators. That's a personal reflective question. I can't answer it for you. But if you ain't the right one, you better straighten it out. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Sisters and brothers, this is what we are faced with. There's some things that are requisite on our part. We got to make straight. You know, Ed, we've all heard that you got to be ready. You got to stay ready to keep from getting ready. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. Straighten it out is an idiom, too. We use it, but we can apply it to our day-to-day lives. You know, the young folk use it. They use it all the time. I'll hear him say, hey, man, you straight? What's that mean? You, are you all right? What's going on? you straight? We got to understand. There's some things that's requisite on our part. But brothers and sisters, when you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that's what this is all about. Hope. And the peace that comes through him. John was set apart to preach of repentance, but Jesus would come ultimately to baptize with fire. That burns up that old life, that old froward way, that crooked way. Because the world, Paul uses it, says this world, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And in order to get it from being crooked, it's got to be straight. And the only way that we can do that, my brothers and sisters, is by placing saving faith in Jesus. Our hope and our peace is in him. I share this good news with everybody out there. There's some things in my life that are not perfect. But I put my trust in a perfect Savior. And his name is Jesus. The one who would come down through 42 generations from Abraham. Walk the dusty roads of Jerusalem. He would ultimately lay down his life for your sin and mine. That's why I always say, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he would sacrifice his life. But I'm glad. I said I'm glad that he did. Sisters and brothers, this first Sunday, it's about the blood that Jesus shed for you and me. Yes, he came in the flesh, but he would come to die. That's how we can all experience salvation, because of his finished work at Calvary. That's the place where Jesus died. He died for you and he died for me. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. And for me and you and all of y'all out there, even on Facebook, he died. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he got up and he rose. And when he got up, he didn't get up with some power. He didn't get up with half power. He didn't get up with full power. He didn't get up with black power. He didn't get up with white power. He got up. It was all power. That resurrection power that gives you life. And because he got up with all power, you and I have an opportunity to, guess what? Straighten it out. You can straighten it out because of Jesus. Don't wait till he comes back to get it straight. We got to get it straight right now. Am I right about it? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we celebrate him, his coming into this world. Jesus is coming, so straighten it out. Don't get caught with your work undone. It'll be too late. As we stand all over the building, I bless the name of the living God. There may be one. Maybe you've just been going through the motions. And you are in need of a touch from Jesus. He extends himself to us. He never turns away. We're the ones who turn and walk away. He has outstretched arms. And he loves you. He died for you. You can symbolically give your hand to the preacher, but God has your heart. Will you trust him today? Will you believe him? John the Baptist had a radical message. It cost him his life because he preached against sin. And when you study them Herods, they were despicable people, incestuous, power driven, mad at John because he told the truth. But my sisters and brothers, you have to be willing to die for the truth. People will attack your Christian character. Oh, it's happened to me. The truth isn't popular in a world that says there is no absolute truth. But brothers and sisters, the absolute truth is Jesus. That's why we got to straighten it out. If you want to come and get connected or reconnected, you can be a participator, spectator, or perpetrator. The choice is yours. But in case you don't know and you're getting some clarity, you can come, give your hand to the preacher, but God has your heart. And online, you can go to www.peoriabethel.org. Hit connect with Bethel. And some people have been hitting the website. We can connect with you. I'll pray with you, pray for you. God's already started on the inside. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. That means the change has already started. You're just following through with the natural. And baptism signifies cleansing, renewal, regeneration. You can come and give your hand to the preacher. God has already got your heart. But it is a matter of public profession to say, Lord, I identify with you. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, remembering what he would ultimately come to do on our behalf. It's never too late as long as you've got breath in your body. Won't you come? Is there one for special prayer, this second call? Maybe you've been trying to straighten it out and you just need a little encouragement. You can pray, you can talk to the Master. It's all right. We pray ye one for another. That's what we do. Won't you come? Is there one who would want to rededicate? Reaffirm your faith and strengthen it. We can pray with you and pray for you. You can come. Is there one? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. While on earth is thou art called, Holy Master, do not pass me by. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for the communion service. There is a fountain filled with blood. This is First Sunday. Those of you who may not have had an opportunity, as our ushers would pass out the elements, we invite you to commune with us. Lose all the guilty stains. Those of you who intend on leading a new life following the commandments of God, get ready to take this holy sacrament to your comfort, remembering what our Lord has done for us. The invitation and general confession, there should be a printout in your communion packet, and those of you joining us online, you got juice or water, you can do a virtual communion. You can get bread. But we do encourage, we know we have members scattered throughout the United States, but for those who are able-bodied and close, we do encourage you to come on back. We're following the COVID protocols, and this is our holy sacrament, the communion. Together, merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And every heart says, Amen. In the same night that Judas betrayed him, the Lord took the cup and blessed it and gave thanks. And as often as we do, we're to do in remembrance of him. This is symbolic of his body that would be broken as we take the bread and bless it. And I take to my comfort the body of my Lord, which was broken for me, when at the shedding of his blood there could be no remission of my sin. Likewise, he took the cup after sup and blessed it and gave thanks. Jesus did not spill his blood, he shed his blood. And without the shedding of his blood, there could be no remission of our sin. Take to our comfort that our sinful souls and bodies could be made clean, washed in his blood. Eat and drink ye all of it. On our knees, as we fall on our knees, with our face to the rising sun. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Oh yeah, I know it was the blood. Savior's blood.
It was my Savior's
blood. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was my Savior's blood for me. One day. Don't you know that he died? On the first Sunday, no traditional benediction, but we'll do as they did. They went on the Mount of Olives and sung hymns.
He's coming back again.
Oh yeah, he's coming back again.
For me.
One day. Don't you know that he died? And it just says that it is so. Let everybody say,
amen.
Let everybody say,
amen.